Are meme coins the next big driver of mass adoption in crypto? As we enter the early stages of the bull market, we're seeing signs of things going up only. And what happens when that happens is things go a little bananas. You start to see meme coins like Dog with Hat reach valuations in the billions. And we thought, you know what? It's time for us to take a step back and dive a little deeper into meme coins and what they mean for you from not just an investment perspective, but from a business builder perspective and from a doer on chain. In this episode, we are joined again by T-Pain, one of the best on-chain growth marketers around, to discuss how do you understand memes? Well, you need to understand memetics and how culture spreads in a digital world. How did Dog with Hat grow from by 200,000% in 3 months, now with a market cap of $2.5 billion? Well, I'll give you a hint. It is because he's wearing a hat. And what is a future hypothesis of how meme coins could be used in more normie ways? Think about a TV show like American Idol or The Bachelor using meme coins for the contestants. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the biggest trend in meme coins right now, which is political coins such as Trump. And where does this all go? GM, welcome to another episode of Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. I'm Jay Bird, and I believe that meme coins are going to change the world. GM, T-Pain, welcome back to Web3 Academy.
Hey, thanks for having me as always. Good to be back.
Yeah, man, great to have you back on the show. Okay. Today, we're talking all meme coins because depending upon who you ask, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, wow, people are getting rich off of a dog with a hat. And why? Because he's wearing a hat. And that really seems to matter in meme coin culture these days. We reached out to T-Pain because we had to get you back on the show because nobody understands this stuff well. We're all trying to figure it out. You know, none of us are experts yet. It's all new, but you are really thinking about it. You've written some great pieces, some great articles, and nobody better to have on the show to talk meme coins. So I want to start off with, we were talking before recording about many things, but a few things we were talking about were memetics and understanding the power of memetics on culture and the internet, and then degen behavior and how important it is to understand degen behavior in this new on-chain world that we are slowly, some days, much faster these days, entering. Let's start with, at the memetics point, you've talked about before, I'm going to read a quote from an article actually you wrote. You said, "I believe that understanding memes is important and will only increase in importance as it pertains to society, culture, and growth/marketing strategies." Why do you believe that? Why did you write that?
Jay, thanks for having me on again. Before I start answering that question and we go deep into this world, I am not a meme coin expert. However, what I like to say is I'm in the trenches pretty much every day in this space, and that doesn't necessarily span one specific area. And I really appreciate and enjoy the pattern matching, trend spotting of what's going on and helping to sort of unpackage and repackage it in a more consumable way for my readers on the blog, but also just other folks and even on this podcast as an example, because I think regardless of where you stand and what you think about what's going on right now with meme coins or several years ago when that craze started happening, I think it's important to at minimum appreciate and understand what's going on for what it is, right? When I say appreciate, it doesn't mean you need to appreciate it in a positive way, but appreciate that it is a thing right now and a thing that a lot of other people, maybe not you, are interested in, attracted to, or focused on, right? You can appreciate that it is something. That's what you can appreciate at minimum.
Yeah. And let me just say, you said appreciate right now, but I want to be clear that by the end of this episode, we're going to talk about why this is not just right now.
Yes. Yes. And I already mentioned several years ago, how did Dogecoin come about, right? It really popped and sort of peaked so far back in 2021. But actually, for those that have dug into the history a little bit more, Dogecoin has been around for about 10 years, if not a little longer, right? This was developed a long, 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 long time ago.
Really?
Right? But actually, started proliferating thanks to this past bull cycle a few years back, and was more accessible by being listed on centralized exchanges such as Coinbase, of course, and other places. So meme coins aren't something that just started a few months ago, a year ago, a few years ago, started a while ago, not to mention memes in general. So to get back to the question, I'll repeat the quote one more time because I think it's important. I believe that understanding memes are important and will only increase in importance as it pertains to society, culture, and growth and marketing strategies. So just starting with the first part, not even tying it to, let's say, a business angle to this, because there are plenty of ways to do that, whether it's specifically with a coin or a meme coin or something else, just memes. What the hell are memes, right? So when I wrote this piece, this overarching piece about memes in general, and more recently I wrote about specific meme coins like Pepe and Whiff, and maybe we'll be writing another one tomorrow. I don't want to just focus too much about this topic. It's just honestly too interesting. Yeah, his sneak peek or alpha alert, I guess, as they say. But what I did, because, you know, I'm not like a professor of memetics or anything. I'm sure there are a couple out there at least. But I was like, well, let me just go to the dictionary or like a more reputable source to figure out what is the definition of a meme in a very definitive or much more reputable source. So from Merriam-Webster, right? A meme, the word, has two definitions. One, an amusing or interesting item, in parentheses, such as a caption, picture, or video, or genre of items that is spread widely online, especially through social media, right? So that's definition one. What's notable about that is that's your traditional definition and understanding of what a meme is, right? You see that on TikTok, you see that on Instagram, you see that on other places. You text a GIF, right, to your friends in your text group, your text message group. That's a meme. Pretty much all GIFs in a way are a meme, right? That fits that definition squarely, right? The second definition from Merriam-Webster is an idea, behavior, style, or usage that spreads from person to person within a culture. So what's really interesting with the first and second definition is they're actually vastly different. And what I would liken it to is actually the first definition, the sort of interesting item that's like probably more media based, that's typically online, fits within the definition of number two, right? But number two doesn't necessarily fit into the definition of number one because it's an idea, behavior, or style that spreads from person to person within a culture, right? And why do I say that? Because when you think about it and take a step back, two is the, let's say, 30,000 foot view definition, while one is, let's say, looking at the forest, right? But if you take a step back, what is a meme within the second definition? It could be a sports player, right? It could be LeBron James, right? Who says a funny thing, right? And you don't have to do that online, although it's easily popularized online, but it could be when he says Taco Tuesday, or when he does he claps with the powder, right, before every game.
Right.
That's just something you see live, right? Yeah. And other people could do that too, because they're such a big fan, they're at the game, they're just doing that with him. That's a meme, right? Mm-hmm. Not the way you typically think about it, but that's a meme, right? When you sing, when you start cheering, at least in the US, towards the very end of the national anthem being sung, right? That's a meme, that's a behavior that spreads because everyone's doing that. Because you're cheering, the national anthem's finishing, and that also means the game's about to start, right?
Yeah. I just went to an NHL game this weekend with my wife, date night without our kid. It was super exciting. First date night in 8 months.
Nice.
But congrats. Point. Yeah. And there is distinct parts during the national anthem when there's always somebody who yells the same thing. You know what I mean? That is proliferated through culture. Everybody knows what to say in that moment.
Yeah, and as we're talking, a more obvious one, because like people could be like, well, that's just like a culture thing. That's not a meme. There's nothing funny about it, right? To be clear, memes don't have to be funny either, right? The whole point is it's a behavior shared within a culture that's proliferated. Here's a much more obvious one within the sort of sports arena type of setting. The wave, right? When you're doing the wave, that's a meme. People start it, you proliferate the meme. Otherwise, the wave literally dies, right? It dies because people don't proliferate it. So it's a successful meme in a wave form at a sporting event actually proliferates and continues for several cycles, right? So it's actually really fascinating when you start tying those two. So, okay, to continue on, one more definition for you from Encyclopedia Britannica. Remember that? A meme is a unit of cultural information spread by imitation. So that's more like the second definition from Merriam-Webster, but has a different angle about it. It's spread by imitation. There's a cultural aspect to it. And it actually is a term, a Greek term, based on a Greek term called mimema, meaning imitated. So that's from a British evolutionary biologist, right? So this all ties together because there's a lot of psychology, you know, sort of a cultural, social, biological aspect to all of this. So I'll stop with the science and backstory to all this, but that's really important because that goes back to why this is important. Because again, it sounds a little kooky or crazy to describe it in this way, but a lot of things in life, especially proliferated by online culture and social media, is a meme, right? Water cooler talk, you know, cracking jokes. Your colleagues have a specific reputation. That could be a meme in itself. Other derivative jokes coming from that. Having a conversation with your significant other. You guys have your inside jokes. Those are memes within two people, right? Or a small group. So I'll stop there. That's why it's important, because it helps you to better understand what the hell is going on in this space. In crypto and Web3, this memetic culture is amplified by probably 10 to 100 to 1,000x. And what will happen in terms of what's trending within crypto and memes, particularly meme coins, will proliferate beyond. I won't promise you that, but I would be highly confident in that. And I think a lot of other smart people believe that too.
I feel like a damn Daniel, but damn T-Pan.
That's a meme, right?
There you go. Is that
everything we're saying, talking about is a meme. And I hope I don't keep interrupting us like that, but like that is a meme and that was a good one. And when you said it and that moment was like several years ago, you know, we still recognize that cultural moment.
And so what I think is really important to understand here is you need to step away from meme coin for a second, because I think that it's so easy to judge meme coins, right? There's so many people. I wish that an episode like this was listened to by everybody who doesn't even know anything about meme coins yet, because all they're seeing is dog with hat on BBC or Fox News or whatever is worth a $2 billion market cap. And they're seeing some person who has no idea what a meme coin is try to explain it to the general audience. But what we're saying is, like, this is culture. This is, memes have been around for all of humanity. Mm-hmm. There was memes back in the Stone Age when they were drawing the same thing on rocks and spreading ideas and spreading concepts. Mm-hmm. And that's really all a meme is at its simplest definition. Yes. Now, what happened was the internet allowed spread in a way. And that's a key thing that was in all the definitions that you said, was the word spread. It's something that has to spread across culture. The internet, obviously, for the first time ever, we could spread concepts and spread ideas in new ways to the masses like never before. And then enter blockchain, and now you can spread capital formation in new ways like never before. So you sort of have two amplifiers or new levers that we just didn't have pre-technology that have maybe led the definition of meme to evolve in new ways that we, you know, didn't have before.
Said very, very well regarding taking that step back and ultimately tying these pieces together. So appreciate that summary.
Let's go in a few directions here. First, let's talk a bit about dog with hat, because it is the meme of the hour. I want you to tell me what you think the meme of the hour is, because you're following a lot of memes closer than I am. But how can somebody understand, not from the investor side, how can somebody understand why Dog with Hat has become a $2.5 billion plus market cap? I mean, it depends what day it is, and it widely swings. I think it's been as high as 3.2 recently in the last week. But how the heck does that happen from a spreading of ideas, spreading of a dog wearing a hat? How does that happen?
Yeah, definitely. So I wrote a piece about Dog with Hat, more specifically the meme itself and why it's interesting as a meme and how that probably has been a large part and played a large role in not just the proliferation of the meme itself, of course, but the value of the meme coin, which basically went from zero to 2 billion to 3 billion or so, depending on the day you check. So full disclosure, I have some WIF, and I think by purchasing WIF, I purchased it a few months ago. It allowed me to better understand and just become a little bit more ingrained to understanding like what the heck is going on. And I definitely observed it and some of the interesting ways the meme was proliferated before I decided to purchase some, which helped me to better understand it even more and observe it
right.
over a longer period of time. But I think what's most interesting about WIF is the meme itself. And I really broke it down a couple of weeks ago, so I'll give a slightly more abridged version of that. And I think when you think about memes, there's generally templates, right? And in the piece, I describe the Drake meme with Hotline Bling. So typically, visual meme formats, I'll specifically talk about the visual ones for now, they have this sort of multiple panels or there's a specific template, right? And it might be panel-based, like I just mentioned. There might be a before and after, or there might be a visual associated with it. And then there's a little bit of a Mad Lib fill in the blank to fit that situation, right? So the visual component really is the canvas and sets the tone for whatever the text or the additional imagery has, right? So with Drake Hotline Bling, it's a little bit of before and after, the first panel showing Drake saying, no, 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 he doesn't like the thing, right? Insert thing one. And then the second one, he's approving of insert thing two, whatever it is, right? And I think that's really helpful to understand that the templatization of memes and how our brains being exposed to probably lifetime, well, for me, I'll say maybe other people less or more. At this point, for me, thousands of different templates, you sort of understand that call and response type of behavior, right? So when it comes to Dog with Hat, it's actually really interesting because there is a template, but there's actually three memes in one. So what does that mean, right? There's the dog, which is a Shiba Inu. There's actually plenty of memes out there that are Shiba Inus or variations of that, right? I still remember back when, you know, pets became more personalities on Instagram as an emerging social media channel. There's actually one, maybe not everyone remembers or knows of it, but there's this dog, really fluffy Pomeranian, I think. So not a Shiba Inu, although they look similar. Boo, right? Boo was actually one of the first pet characters on Instagram. Sold a ton of toys, you know, got millions of followers. Not sure where Boo is now. Not sure if Boo has passed, RIP if so. But, you know, that sort of dog character has become popularized. And when it comes to meme coins, you have Doge, you have Shib.
Yeah, why are they all dogs? Why are they all dogs?
There's a whole bunch of hypotheses and theories on this. I mean, I won't get into it. I have a cat myself. And, you know, hopefully there's a cat that reaches those ranks one day. But I guess dogs are just generally, like, quote unquote, in terms of reputation, more friendly. Right? Like cats have a reputation of being like, they do what they want. They sort of like, you know.
I always thought the internet liked cats more than dogs though, which is why wet token sort of made sense. Anyways, not
exactly. We'll see. I think it's just a matter of time. We'll see maybe like one or two or maybe many more cat tokens come out that sort of rival this sort of group of dogs, the pack of dogs and their respective valuations. So we'll see. But with dog, I think that sets the setting for dog, right? Everyone understands within a meme coin situation that, you know, dogs and Shiba Inus are very popular and, you know, are very sort of the creme de la creme. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for screen sharing that portion, right? And I'll get to all these pieces being put together as meme templates, right? This is why I'm describing each of these in a fair amount of detail. So WIF stands for the word with, W-I-T-H, right? Dog with hat, dog with hat. With, honestly, just probably is like just a fun, cuter, more like fun way to say something, just like how you might shorten or abbreviate a word, or instead of saying what's up, you say what's up, right? Back in the day, it was really popular to sort of use slang, right? And then the hat, which was a woven beanie. This is a real woven beanie by the owner that wove this small beanie for their dog. And that's how the meme came about. To become dog with hat. So this meme actually came from a picture from the owner, and the meme itself was just a shared picture that someone mentioned it as dog with hat, and it was within the gaming community where it first proliferated. And these gamers just started to create different variations of the dog with hat. And what they did was the meme, in terms of the templatization of it, was that beanie, they actually put different logos of their sports teams or the things on top of the hat. They kept the dog the same. They kept the word with more or less the same. And the hat was the canvas that sort of became templatized and customized. Mm-hmm. So what's really interesting is, well, you know, how this became a meme coin I'll speak to a high level. I didn't look at the deep history. Maybe there's more to it. So don't take my word completely for it. But basically, you could turn any meme into a coin. It's very easy to do that nowadays. You could do that in like a couple minutes. As a simple example, Harambe is a meme coin. So that's just to show that any meme can become a meme coin. Pepe, et cetera. But with Dog with Hat, when it started, there were a lot of different ways that the meme proliferated, right? So one is with a hat. It's not just keeping the hat silhouette the same, but the hat is a hat. So instead of it being a beanie, it could be a pirate hat. Mm-hmm. It could be Peter Pan's hat. It could be a cap versus a beanie. They could have different logos on it, right? So in that specific template, the meme already started to multiply beyond just the silhouette of the beanie. The hat itself went much more beyond the beanie, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to the beginning part of the dog, what's interesting is the characters changed. So in the initial meme, it was the same dog, different hats, right? Mm. Now it's different characters with the same hat or beanie. So what people did is they just copy-pasted the beanie, or they photoshopped it, or they created the silhouette of the same beanie, that sort of peach-colored woven beanie, and they placed it on different people, right? So whether it's Larry Fink from BlackRock, there's been plenty of memes with him with a hat, putting it on other characters or people putting it on their own PFP, right? Mm-hmm. They proliferated the meme with the beanie being the hat. So once you saw it enough, anytime you saw that beanie, regardless of the dog, you understood that was a reference to with the coin, but also the meme dog with hat. The last piece, last but not least, I think, which is somewhat of a special one because it's in the name of the meme itself and the meme coin itself, with, and it's the ticker, which is actually very helpful as well, is the word with, right? A lot of people used it in different ways, and it allowed for another medium of proliferation of the meme beyond the visual aspect, because we've generally been talking about the visual aspect of it. Now we're talking about the written aspect of it, which more distribution channels, more ways to win, right? Simple as that. So people started using the word with to replace with in their social media posts, especially on Twitter and crypto Twitter and Web3 and NFTs. So people started doing just random things. I think one that comes off the top of my head is Legion, a well reputable and well-respected investor in the space. She was at ETH Denver and she played with the word with and said Lee with hat, right? Basically saying, you know, that's her, Lee, L-I, Lee Jin, and she's wearing a hat. And she was wearing, I think, like a cowboy hat or something and just playing with that word, right? Yeah. So the meme proliferated just in random things. People enjoy saying it because it's fun. So the point here is the meme has three different components that can be mixed and matched. They're visual and written, and sort of took a life of its own because it was fun. And then as a result, the meme coin, because it had this sort of jet fuel on top of it with the ability to proliferate in a multitude of ways versus just one, and also in a very enjoyable way and very composable way, a term that we say in crypto and Web3, it really sort of got to a different sort of stratosphere or level of traction that many of the meme coins, I wouldn't say that they can't. It's just it had, let's say, more ways and more paths and more wedges to sort of reach culture within our small space and also sort of be more sticky as a meme and more relevant and gain more attention and attention share in the attention economy. So that's a lot of backstory, but also breaking down the meme itself and why I find it very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much to what you just said. Thank you for sharing that backstory, because I think it's so helpful to understand where this all starts, because where it all starts is with already existing culture. That's, I think, something that I think a lot of people on the outside miss here. They're like, oh my gosh, there's this meme coin that came out of nowhere seemingly, because a lot of people might not have, they're not gamers. They haven't seen that Dog with Hat has been proliferating the gaming internet for a while and been used there for a few years. So to them, it's new. Pepe, same thing. Pepe is a huge part of culture, huge. And especially crypto culture, and has been for years. The meme coin only got launched, what, like a year ago, roughly, maybe 10 months ago?
Roughly.
So there's a big aspect of the culture that precedes a meme coin actually happening. And in the case of Dog with Hat, I think what's so I don't know, maybe lucky is the right word. I use Definitely. The word luck because I'm not really sure that people who launch meme coins are like branding growth marketing experts the way you are, T-Pan, and think about like composable branding or composable memes the way you are. But you had a cute dog, which apparently like leads to huge spread because everyone just loves cute dogs, especially Shiba Inu. I literally said to my wife yesterday that I would get a Shiba Inu because I was like talking about dogs I would get in our life. And I was like, they're just so damn cute, right? Like, and even she was like, yeah, I don't really want one, but I get what you're saying. Like, they're really cute. And then the hat allows almost like this belief that what I love about it is that it's just like life is better with a hat, basically. Like, everything's better with a hat. How many times have you seen anybody say something recently online and it's like, but does it have a hat?
Yep.
Right? So exactly. It's almost like this belief that you can get behind, which is a key part of culture. So I think that sort of helps us understand why this is spread, although there's a lot of why this is spread as well that connects to financial gain and financial opportunity. Yep. And
totally.
That we're not necessarily going to try to explain that side of it today.
Yes.
What I want to go back to is, okay, so knowing that in order for a meme coin to be successful, it sort of needs to have a history and it has already created spread. It has already created culture. What are the items that you sort of think that are not using meme coins right now that could be in the future from a business standpoint? Like, how could maybe a business use a meme coin to spread their memes in new ways on chain that they haven't been able to do before? Can we talk a bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's some interesting prototypes of this, let's say, happening in different ways. And I could see it very easily, at least from a conceptual or hypothetical standpoint, being applied in our daily lives, whether, you know, we participate or not. But may take, and I'm saying all of this first just because, like, hey, I'm sure the point is there are regulatory considerations, there are legal considerations to these hypotheticals, which you cannot ignore. But we are seeing prototypes of this in other jurisdictions, particularly Asia. And I could see this being applied in Western culture or Western media and entertainment very easily. The fun thing is I've thought about this like years ago, and it's cool to see, like, to come back to this idea because I still feel strongly about this. I think many others do probably as well. And it will happen. I do believe this will happen. It's just a matter of not if, but when. So let's get to it. So American Idol. Right. I'm pretty sure many listeners or most folks know what American Idol is. It's been around for like 20 plus years now, or even just in general reality TV shows. So let me give another example, The Bachelor or Bachelorette. And one more for those that are like, hey, I only know streaming. Let's say Love is Blind, right? Another dating show with another guest, right? Very popular on Netflix, season 6, I think. My wife's watching it right now.
I watched it. My wife and I watched it.
Okay, so great. At least you're aware, but you also know the other one. So just giving a broad range. Okay,
all of which Survivor, have produced incredible memes, all of which these.
Like, yes, exactly.
Tons of memes.
Right? So we know that there's always, whether it's a new season or an old one, or even just maybe from the first season or older ones, there are just a cast of characters, either in the current show or maybe just over time and in the past. There's personalities with all these, and there's just a ton of content created in the periphery of the main show, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's social media. For example, The Bachelor, I'm definitely aware of, there's called Bachelor Nation, I believe, which is just like the whole community behind the sort of brand and the series of shows and all the sort of derivative shows from that too, which is amazing to actually observe. And like, not the same, but there's parallels to Web3 in general and communities and, you know, all that stuff. So with that, there's a lot of memes. We already talked about that too, coming from the characters in the show. So I go back to American Idol as the first one I mentioned, because if anyone recalls, you could actually, and this happens in sports and all-star voting and all that fun stuff, but you could vote for like the crowd favorite singer, or there are different mechanics where you could have your voice be heard, right?
Yes.
And back then,
vote type things, right?
Text to vote, call to vote, etc. And that was really cool if you really think about it, right? Mm-hmm. So what does the modern day, or let's say crypto, Web3, you know, NFT friendly version of that, or that type of area or application? Well, what if you had tokens, right? What if you could actually have tokens based on each character or each contestant, right? And what if you could apply some sort of utility or governance or application to those tokens, right? And again, we're not talking about the legal and the regulatory aspect of this. I'm not the person to talk to about it. But what if you could actually, you know, basically show that you're a bigger fan of this character and you could purchase tokens from this character? And then at a certain point, let's say the token sale concludes, and then that's the set supply. The prices can go up and down based on, you know, their success in the show, the progress in the show, but also because maybe even after the show, they take a life of their own and you maybe get perks with that individual or something else, a lot of other interesting interactive ideas. So again, taking a step back, like, okay, great, that's a concept and potential application. Like, okay, these tokens might make sense for a show and the characters. What is it at the end of the day? That's sort of a meme or a culture coin related to that show, right? And really tying it back into, okay, great, that's a hypothetical. And I have it pulled up on my other screen because I didn't quite recall it to the best level of detail. But, you know, I read something from a cool research group called Tiger Research. And they actually were covering the concept of tokens in the entertainment industry in Asia. And there actually are different K-pop or different groups, pop groups, that actually have tokens for each of their band members. So this is not a hypothetical, right? Mm-hmm. And super fans could purchase, buy and sell tokens of each of these band members, and that could be redeemed for certain utility-oriented applications.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm talking about more on the pure entertainment, which also touches upon fandom, but with certain characters in the show, we're seeing today different variations of that happening in bands, right? Mm-hmm. So the concept isn't as far-fetched as it sounds. And that's a much more here today, there's actual characters happening. And if you extrapolate that, that's where meme coins actually have this sort of, you know, okay, well, that's one step further, but that's not absolutely crazy. There's a character put onto a token. You can buy and sell that. It's related to the attention economy, right? The price of a token typically goes up, or at least there's some sort of correlation with the more attention, the more usage, aka also attention, you know, the more applications, which also would require more attention for that thing, generally leads to price going up, right? Yep. Whether it's called brand awareness, whether it's called utility, whether it's called, it's just funny, which means you actually, it's living rent-free in your head, right? That generally leads to something resulting in price go up and also a proliferation of the meme.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's be clear here. I think a lot of people would sit there and say, yeah, but so what? Like, for what? Because, oh, some meme coin gets made for, you know, The Bachelor, and I like that character on the show. So yeah, sure, I buy some tokens. But I think a lot of people in their head are like, oh, well, I'm going to buy it to then sell it later to make some money, right? Now, here's the thing. That's degen behavior. And right now, that is what meme coins are. They're purely tied to degen behavior. But in the future, when we have billions of people on chain, it won't just be tied to degen behavior. There's a lot to learn from degen behavior, don't get me wrong. But it'll also just be tied to connecting community in a new way on chain, right? And what does that allow you to do? It allows you to form capital that you could never do that before. And it allows you to govern internet strangers and come together and create things that you could have never created before with money that you never had before. So you can see how there is so many layers to this that we don't yet understand because we're still so tied up and focused on the, yeah, but I'm sure a lot of people listen to this episode are like, yeah, great, Jay, great T-Pan. Just tell me what meme coin I should go invest in so I can 1,000x, right? Like, that is what most people here are looking for right now. And what we're saying is, okay, you got to see the forest through the trees here because there is so much more application to this concept that we are just so early. We're not there yet. And I think the best example of that right now is all of these political coins that have started recently. So you have a new wave of meme coins that are coming out that didn't exist, I mean, gosh, like a few weeks ago, a month ago. I love time.
It's crazy.
Yeah. In crypto.
Light speed.
And they are now getting a whole bunch of attention because these are cultural items that a lot of people care about, right? A lot of people care about these. And yes, there's also a lot of degen behavior that people are trying to look for the next pop, but there's that building of community online. Let's talk a little bit about these political coins, or you and I were trying to come up with different names, celebrity coins or
celebrity coins are like, I was thinking about that while you're talking and setting the stage. So sorry to interrupt, but I feel like persona coins has a nice ring to it. And that's a broader term. Again, I'm making this up. Maybe someone already has established that term and I'm not aware, but let's just say, like, you know, whoever and wherever you are, if that's the case, like, cool.
But basically, what we're saying is there's different categories of coins, right?
So political coins. So there's, for those that are or maybe aren't aware, there's Trump. There isn't Biden, at least I'm aware of, but we'll get
there. There is. I think it's like Joe Budden or something like that.
Joe Budden. There's Bowden, but I'll get into that in a second. And then there's Trump is probably the largest, like, proper, like, based on their name, political coin, but there's plenty more there. And even under political coins, there's derivatives of that. So we just touched upon that, but instead of Biden, which I don't believe there's a Biden, or at least a very notable one, let's say in the, like, 500 million market cap or 200 or something like that, there's Bowden, right? You heard that, right? B-O-D-E-N. So Bowden. And that actually, that sort of subgenre of political coins actually has quite proliferated a lot. So Trump has the sort of derivative version called TREMP. Again, you heard that, right? T-R-E-M-P. And not only are the names and tickers a derivative of the actual persona or politician, they are the visual representation, which is, again, you could do your own research. I'll just leave it at that. The visual representation is very poorly drawn, very comically drawn, and sort of represents the fact that it's misspelled, right? So going back to the fact that it's a meme, the spelling represents the ticker, which represents the sort of fact that it's a meme coin off of that individual, right? If that sort of makes sense, going back to the dog with hat breakdown, right? It really matches the fact that it's spelled wrong. The visual representation, the poorly drawn drawing of the sort of caricature of Biden and Trump respectively are terrible, but hilarious, which is why the meme catches on, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more characters, let's say, that also follow that sort of blueprint. So that's like political coins, whatever it's called, celebrity coins. I'm making it up literally live on this episode, so that's fun. Persona coins, let's say, you know, just famous individuals that, not a politician or anything, but they're just popular celebrities. So there's like Ye, based off Kanye, Taylor Swift, other memes, of course, and other things. So that's very interesting. So that's another sort of subgenre of this, not just like a pure meme, but the fact that there's a coin becomes a meme in itself in a way. Then there's culture coins, where I would say Farcaster has more of that, and it has a much richer ecosystem of that, you know, may or may not be sustainable. But the most popular and most reputable one right now on Farcaster is Degen, of course. Mm-hmm. Another one that I was recently exposed to, and I claimed it's worth very little, if anything, but it's the first, they claim to be the first meme coin on the Zora L2 network, called Enjoy. So it's just basically based off, the meme is based off the word enjoy. So you could be, if you understand the space, and enjoy your, and then there's just different fun pictures that people create based off that. So that's like a culture coin in the sense that it's more like a vibe, right? Like, you're not like a picture, you're not a person, you're just like a vibe, right? So that's one way to think about culture coins. And there's actually plenty of meme coins that are based on a movement or a brand. So for example, a very popular one that still today is worth at least 100 to 200 million, which is crazy to think about in terms of market cap, is Zyn, which is basically a oral nicotine brand, not made by Zyn, the company or brand, but just someone created Zyn coin. And there's, you know, a lot of people in the finance and I guess crypto space that are huge users and fans of Zyn, the product. So they're like, I love Zyn. This has nothing to do with Zyn, but I'm going to buy some, right? Another one as an example, obviously older ones like Mog is another one. Oh, there's another that escaped my tongue. But the Cup Stanley, you know, the Stanley Cup meme, which had its moments as a product, is also a very popular meme coin. Very volatile, of course, but, you know, that really goes to the cultural aspect of it. So pretty wild.
Well, you mentioned also Abel before the show. I want to mention that one. Tell us about Abel. Is it Abel? Is that how you say it? Or you told me it was based on Apple, which is a publicly traded company. And now there's a meme coin based.
I don't even know what to call this one because I don't want to keep going on like labeling it something because maybe that'll come. But if I like company coins, but like they're already public stocks, this is not officially sanctioned or approved by the company itself. But Abel is interesting. It's spelled AABL based off literally the company Apple. And if I were to give you a minute to imagine what the logo is, I'll just spill the beans. The logo is an apple facing the other direction with a bite taken out of it, right?
No way.
Yeah, that's it, right? And the sort of images that, I don't know who the team is that puts behind it on the account, they're hilarious. They just sort of make fun of, they're inspired, let's say, and they're very meme-y in regards to they take certain famous quotes, or they might have like an Apple app logo, but then they put, you know, the Apple logo on it. They might have like a caricature of Steve Jobs with a quote, think different. And then it's the Apple logo, right? So it just makes fun of a lot of this stuff. So it's become, again, very volatile, but it's become more popular over the past couple of weeks because of the meme behind it and the fact that it's sort of attached to the company Apple, right? And a very simple example of how this could be impacted, and again, this is more about the attention economy within this subculture and this space, but there still is a tie to the real world, so to say. And in the case of Apple, it's tied to Apple in the sense that, as a simple example, if they had their earnings report tomorrow and their earnings was a beat, maybe a significant beat, I'd be very confident that the price not only of Apple stock would go up in the after hours and the following trading days, but the Apple meme coin price would go up because of that positive sentiment, right? So I think there's a lot to learn in regards to the attention economy, how this is all intertwined, and what's sort of happening in those sort of intentional and unintentional, at least from the sort of, let's say, Biden doesn't really care about the meme coin, but indirectly, there's things that happen. Apple doesn't care about Apple, but Apple does have this correlation and impact related to the meme that it's based off of, right? So when you think about, you know, okay, well, I'm a business person or I'm a builder, what does this have to do with anything? And attention economy and all those things. One, it's just to be aware of these interaction effects. Two, how can you sort of think about memes in general to sort of help your product? Right. A lot of it is based on just understanding how the culture, how the sort of consumer base in terms of users, but even if you're a B2B business, right, and want to just get more attention in this space, play with these interaction effects and what happens in regards to creating a piece of content, whether it's a meme, it's a piece of content in regards to something more serious or a thread, right? How do you make it more memeable? Right. Mm-hmm. And what's actually really interesting is when someone is retweeting or reposting or replying or quote posting or quote tweeting or maybe taking an excerpt, just like you did from a piece I wrote two years ago, you were like, you're quoting something, right? That in itself, I wouldn't say is a meme, but they are using sort of the proliferation aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. How do you make something more shareable, more viral? And if it's a funny piece of content or one that maybe has legs in a different way than something, a more serious piece of content, there is a mimetic aspect that people can take from, right? Simple example where regardless of where you operate in the space or what your product is, B2C, B2B, you could just have an image or a sentence, right? If it's just written and write a sentence, I like blank, right? Fill in the blank. You might get some replies. That in itself can be a meme in itself. Or maybe it's more related to your product. You could follow that formula and format, right? Call, response. So I think there's a lot to learn in regards to those interaction models that are often brushed aside or maybe scoffed at from maybe a more professional point of view. But how do you use that to grow your social account? How do you use that to get more replies from prospective customers? How do you use that to proliferate an idea, an image, a slogan for that matter?
Yeah. 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 And I think what you're landing on here, and I know we got to wrap up because you got to jump to another call. Mm-hmm. So much of this is about understanding memetics first, right? Really,
yes.
Everybody should understand memetics first because it is one of the most powerful ways to proliferate an idea or a brand or whatever message you want to proliferate. The other thing that everybody needs to pay attention to is memes on chain or meme coins, because not because it's making everybody a whole bunch of money, although that's great and there's a lot of opportunity come from that, but more so because of what's coming next. And I'm going to leave it there. I think we should follow up maybe in like 6 months or something with what is next, because, you know, Elon Musk is talking about accepting Dogecoin if you want to buy a Tesla. Like, those are, that's what comes next. And we're only in chapter one right now, or the first inning. What comes next is, what do these people build together? It's not just a token that goes up and down. There is going to be so much more, so many more, so utility, use cases, opportunity for businesses and brands to get involved, that we're just too early. We just haven't seen any of that stuff yet. We've seen a little bit of it, but that's where this all goes. So let's leave it at that. T-Pan, thank you so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, my man.
Thank you for having me. The last thing I'll add is, you're talking about Doge and it being accepted in different places and use cases. The Dallas Mavericks, with at least the previous owner being Mark Cuban, maybe not with a new ownership, or maybe, I'm not sure, so don't quote me on that. But at least until maybe very recently, they've accepted Dogecoin for tickets, really? Merch, etc. So, and this is with even during the bear market. So to your point, in 6 months, we'll see where we're at. We got to revisit this topic. But if you think and you believe, and I do, that people will and people are accepting Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, whatever, as a form of currency, meme coins are a form of, at minimum, social currency, attention currency. And if that's the case, why not for actual goods and services? So keep an eye on it. They're going to stick around. Just have an open mind. And maybe there'll be one that's for you if you're a skeptic.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
Just know that they're going to be here. So you could just have them at an arm's length distance, but can appreciate them for what they are. And they're going to probably gain in more attention and proliferation.
And that matters so much when there's capital involved too. T-Pan,
yes.
Awesome, my man. We'll follow up on it part two. I think once we see some more use cases, we'll get you back on the show. Everybody, thanks so much for listening in. Have an awesome day.
Thank you for listening to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and subscribe or follow so that you don't miss the next one. While you're at it, there's a link in the description for our free newsletter where we provide timely and relevant Web3 insights so you can confidently build and invest in Web3. Make sure to subscribe today. One final note. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and nothing we say is financial advice. Crypto and Web3 are risky, and you should never invest more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, friends, and see you in the next one.